good times with my next guest. It's our anniversary together, Mayor Chad Baczynski. Happy anniversary. 1 year ago today was the very first time you were on my show.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
And I did not remember that, Thomas, your sidekick here, filled us in on that. But yeah, happy anniversary. Well, you've covered a lot of that here since here. And this week's been a busy week. Feeling, I'm sure, a little relieved that one major issue is coming to a close. You let go Farouk Sheikh, our police chief, former chief, after an investigation, and he was terminated with cause, so no severance pay. Honestly, even taxpayers are probably a little happy to hear that. Did he take responsibility for his misconduct?
So at the end of the day, reviewing all the information in the report that the board received, that was a big consideration for us for the decision that we made, was him not taking responsibility for his actions. And so that was a big factor in the decision.
Do you worry about an appeal, or are we in any way or form?
I wouldn't say we worry about it. We'll take anything that anything that comes up. We'll deal with that. But at the end of the day, I'm confident in the board's decision that we made.
How quickly can we make it official on a new police chief?
Yeah, we'll have to get together with the board and determine those next steps. So we have options in front of us on how we approach that. But at the end of the day, we need to get together first. So that's something that I can't speak on behalf right now because we haven't had that conversation.
Okay. Would you consider Laura Lee Davies the strongest candidate to be our next chief?
I'll say, you know what, in Laura Lee, we have somebody that is a strong leader. I just don't want to speak on behalf of the board. But absolutely, in her acting capacity, she's demonstrated her leadership capabilities, 29-year veteran, great community advocate and community supporter. So I think we're in a
good
spot.
Sounds like you would. All right. I'll take that as a yes. Thank you, Mayor. Okay. One other pretty important void that needs to be wrapped up is city manager. Remind me where we are with the departure of former manager Nikki Anderson.
Yeah, so obviously the decision was made to terminate there, and really it's just some legalities in the background that are getting sorted out, and so as soon as that's done...
Will we avoid any severance there in your mind?
No. It was a termination without cause in that case, so there'll be severance as per the contract.
So a few weeks from now we might have this come to an end, or...?
Yeah, I don't have an exact timeline, but I'm hoping in the next short bit here we'll wrap this up.
Okay, well, if you just tell Laura Lee she's chief, then you have more time to look for a new city manager. Although Mr. Nichols doing great there. What are you smiling about? All right, let's see here. Dewdney Avenue, bring me up to date, Mayor.
Yeah, Dewdney's looking absolutely amazing. We're a week or two away, I think, from being complete there, and
not open yet. No,
not yet, but very, very close. I think you can see when you look down there, we are very, very close there.
Yeah. Okay, Foo Fighters, Grey Cup returning. How much of a lift do you feel these are?
It's a huge lift. I think this is the momentum that we've been trying to get to, and I think to have the Grey Cup announcement and the Foo Fighters announcement. Days within each other, huge momentum for the city.
Good economic spinoff, obviously. And Sean Semple and his crew putting in a new bar, restaurant, lounge at the Real District for next December. You've seen the plans here. This looks pretty cool. And also another positive venture, I would think, for the Real District, is it?
It's a huge positive statement, I would say. To put that kind of investment into the city and into the Real District is, to me, a vote of confidence. And to have another iconic or a new iconic venue like that in the city, especially to promote live music, which is something that we're known for. So it's very exciting.
Has
very exciting
Mr. Semple ever said, Mayor Chad Baczynski, let's work on a new arena together? Has he had a conversation with you on that?
I think it's something that if he has something in mind, then we would absolutely listen to, any ideas. We would go through the proper processes in that. But, it's exciting when people bring ideas forward, like the distillery. It's great to see that investment in the community.
Okay. Lots of Blue Jays banter lately. Do they finish it tomorrow? Yamamoto is going to be pitching on the mound there. Are the Blue Jays going to finish it tomorrow, or are you waiting till Saturday?
You know what? I think they're going to bring it home. I think they stunned LA last night.
Yeah. Well, even the fans look stunned. Oh, so yeah. Tomorrow night, you think it's done?
I think it's done.
All right. You willing to put a bet in Vegas with me on that one?
In Vegas? No, absolutely not.
Don't forget to Halloween tomorrow. Are you going to stay home to watch the game and hand out candy, or are you going out with the kids?
I think that's a negotiation with the Jays game for tomorrow night to see who's doing what. But yeah, we'll be making sure we get out there safe and make sure the kids are safe when they go out, and make sure everybody's wearing bright clothes and staying safe out there. And drivers, please slow down for Halloween.
All right. Okay. Chad Mashinsky, I'm out of time. Thank you for yours. One person taken to hospital after an early morning garage fire, and Kevin Martell will have that in just a moment here. Of course, last night, I sit down, I'm going to watch the ball game, and it just immediately just drew you in.
Got him! Jeff Hoffman finishes it off, and the Blue Jays come into L.A., take 2 out of 3 here, beating them tonight 6-1, and they're up 3-2 in the World Series.
It's unbelievable. And if you were watching that first inning and how quickly it happened with David Schneider there.
Game 5 is underway with a fly ball to deep left. Gone! The first pitch of the ball game, and David Schneider hit it out.
You could not help but smile and, like, in awe watch that last night. And it gave me the chills just hearing Schulman do that again. And David Schneider's dad in the crowd almost immediately sharing his point of view from his phone right behind home plate.
Oh, no!
Proud
no
father
way!
Here.
No way! God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
He's high-fiving all the family members.
You gotta be kidding me!
That would be a pretty cool feeling to be watching your son in the World Series and have that happen. And then, of course, Vladdy just got right back at her, and he smacks one.
The Blue Jay fans making a ton of noise, and now Guerrero rips one to deep left, and it's gone. And two batters in, they are up 2-0. My oh my, what a start for the Blue Jays here tonight.
And Treyu Savage, an historic start for the rookie. He followed those home runs up by immediately retiring Will Smith, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani as well too. And that was just the first inning. And this morning we're all talking about this kid. One run on 3 hits, no walks, a record 12 strikeouts, and he was smiling ear to ear after the game.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, first time on the road in the playoffs, hearing a lot of crap talk in the bullpen. And I think it's funny. I think it's funny. So it fuels me. And I told Pete and when I was warming up, this is a lot of fun.
He made just a little more than $57,000 U.S. in MLB this season as a late call-up from the minors. So to give you a little perspective, the Dodgers lineup made $148 million this year. He set the World Series rookie record for strikeouts against them on all that money last night with 12. No other pitcher can say that. And the way baseball salary structures are, Treyu Savage really made very little for those 3 outings he's had, but it's all building for the future. And someone asked him about that after the game.
Yeah. I mean, this playoff paycheck is going to be nice whenever it hits. So.
What a story. Ah, the spooky season is here. One more sleep till Halloween. And unfortunately, it's going to be pretty chilly tomorrow evening. I have only, 2 degrees tomorrow? So, yeah, there might be some snowsuits under costumes for little ones tomorrow. But I read one of these Halloween polls that said 60% say they've had at least one paranormal experience. I would not be in the 60% by no means. Another 16%. I've actually seen a spirit or ghost.
Don't move. It won't hurt you.
Batman, what happened? Are you okay?
He slimed me.
I feel so funky.
Most of the people in this Halloween poll that experienced a ghost said, well, it was not an evil one. Well, my next guest calls herself a paranormal investigator who can help you investigate your own paranormal experiences, if you so desire. Her name is Teresa McKnight. Teresa, welcome to the show. First and foremost, how would you describe what you do?
Well, what I do is, well, to everybody else,
it is paranormal. It is not normal. I do a lot of different things in the paranormal realm as well as before the paranormal realm.
Have you had training in this? Or did you just watch Ghostbusters over and over as a kid and thought, you know what, that's going to be me. Hop in a station wagon, a jumpsuit, and a fancy blaster, and away I go.
It kind of started when I was quite young. I had a few paranormal experiences, and they continued to happen throughout my life. Things I could not explain, things my parents couldn't explain, things kept happening. I do feel like everybody has the potential to kind of tap into that type of thing. 99% of things can be explained away, but it's just that, like, 1% of things that can't.
Teresa McKnight is my guest. She's a paranormal investigator. What have you recently investigated? Like, give us a few examples.
Actually, just on Saturday, I went to investigate the museum in Grenfell. There was a few different spirits in there that we were kind of communicating with. It's definitely haunted.
Teresa, we've seen Ghostbusters where they literally suck up the ghosts in their blaster thingy. What do you use to investigate?
Well, my favorite, my REM pod. I tend to get a lot of communication through REM pods.
Well, as a REM pod, what does it look like? Like a stethoscope that captures sound?
No, it's actually just like a circle, little stumpy looking thing. It's got an antenna coming out of it, and then it creates an EMF field.
And are you walking around the house with that on your head?
No, we just put it down in a spot. We can ask questions and things get close to it and give us responses for our questions, or like sometimes just wants to play with the lights and sounds that come out of it.
This is so cool. It's fascinating. I think I want to do this myself here. Go with you one night. Have you had an experience that genuinely frightened you?
I did, actually. A trip I went on, family vacation we went on, and it was actually in Drumheller. We stayed at I think it was called the Econo Motel.
No, I think it was the Bates Motel, wasn't it?
Mrs. Bates.
Bates, okay. We got there and I decided to lay down on the bed. I at one point fell asleep and I woke up with the feeling of somebody choking me. And I was literally gagging, waking up.
And it was not your husband?
No, my husband was napping beside me as well. And I started like tapping my husband behind me. As soon as he sat up and turned over, it stopped. But it still took me a couple seconds to catch my breath.
Wow.
And, but like that was terrifying. That motel we stayed at was known to be haunted.
I am talking to a paranormal investigator, Teresa McKnight. In those moments, have you ever said out loud who's there and immediately regretted it?
Yeah, because you do get a lot of like tricksters and stuff like that as well. But a lot of times you'll get things like Satan or demonic, things you don't really want to be talking to, if you know what I mean.
Quite disturbing. So as a paranormal investigator, do they contact you for help to get rid of anything, or are you just helping them here?
All of the above, actually.
So if anyone wants to use your services, where do they find you?
You can find me right on Facebook there. That's probably the best way to contact me.
Who are you going to call?
Teresa McKnight.
You want to sing the song with me now? Ghostbusters! That was interesting. I appreciate your time.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you giving me a call.
Before the World Series last night, of course, the anthems, and a guy by the name of Rufus Wainwright, who's been around, he's a longtime Canadian from Montreal. Oh, you know what? He started singing Oh Canada. It doesn't sound horrible at this point. But he changes the lyrics.
Patriot love that only us command.
Like, just a couple of nights ago, that sax kid did the same thing, and he got roasted. People just want to hear the anthem the way it's sung lyrically as it is right now. And to make any statements, he sang the same line that Chantal Kreviazuk did when she thought she'd better change the lyric to protest Trump's 51st state comments back at the Four Nations Cup last February. And that had a lot of people in an uproar last when she did that too. And now twice this week. It's just, I do not understand why they feel the need to change the lyrics. And whoever is booking the anthem singer for Toronto the next couple of nights, I say make it Anne Murray. one of the coolest people you will ever meet. I interviewed her a couple of times when she came through Regina. Lovely woman. She has reason to sing the national anthem. She's a massive Blue Jays fan, and she's had a little history behind it.
I sang the national anthem at the first game ever played in Toronto, and I also sang the national anthem at the opening of the Sky Dome and also in the first World Series game. So I've been a Jays fan since the very beginning.
Have you been watching the games?
Come on. Of course I've been watching the games.
And she is just a huge super fan. Let her sing the national anthem. Wouldn't that be cool? Tomorrow night or Saturday? Okay, another controversy for some Canadians, not necessarily me, was Harry and Meghan Markle watching Game 4 near the front row in Dodger Stadium wearing Dodger hats. Some thought, though, the once third in line to the British throne, showing support for the Dodgers instead of the Blue Jays, given his dad as the King of Canada, was just incredibly poor taste. And I'm like, who cares who he's cheering for? I know a lot of Canadians who cheer for American baseball teams and would never wear a Jays hat. Same goes for hockey. This one doesn't bother me as much. And after all, the two of them might have been guests of the Dodgers. Maybe they originally had Jays hats, but the guy who owns the booth said, no, you got to put Dodgers hats on. Kind of like Seinfeld.
Enjoy the game.
When Elaine wanted to wear an Orioles hat.
You better take off the Orioles cap.
Yeah, I better.
No, seriously. You're in the owner's box. I don't think it's a good idea.
You're not serious.
Yes, I am.
Well, didn't he say that?
No, but he gave me the seats. And I don't think he'd like it if you wore an Orioles cap.
Yeah, I think the same situation could have been for Harry and Ms. Markle there a couple of nights ago. That one doesn't bother me as much as mixing with the anthem. CJME News Time now is 8:27.